All right. Let's pray as we dive into Scripture together. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your revelation in Christ, that as we stand and walk in the midst of a world and even just our own bodies and lives that at times are very broken, very hurting, very dark, we, as we sang this morning, are invited to turn our eyes to you and to see in the face of Jesus, in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, a God who has not given up on the world, a God who in holy love has bound himself in love to us, God. We thank you that we come today hungry, in need of your mercy and grace, to a God who is hungry and longing to extend yourself to us. That's what we discover in Jesus. And so we come in faith today, we come in need. And we bow to you and ask that once again, through your word, by your spirit, you would speak to us and awaken us to yourself, God. And we pray this not only for ourselves, but we pray this for the women and men sitting around us, for the kids who've just gone downstairs, for those who want to be with us today but can't be with us today. Oh God, would you give us ears to hear your voice, and would you speak to us through your word today? Amen. Well, as most of you know, we've been journeying together this summer through a study on the Holy Spirit, on the person, passions, and ministry of the Spirit, which, as we've said, is not just a fascinating topic, and I hope it is that, but it's more than that. This is a vital topic in our life together as a Christian community, because this is the essential reality of the Christian life today. Life in Christ today, following Jesus today, is a life lived fundamentally by the Spirit, right? Jesus is not standing right here with us in the way he did with the disciples in the days of the gospel. God is present with us by his Spirit. Everything we know of God and experience of God happens by the Holy Spirit. Our experience of the Father, of his love, of his acceptance, our experience of God's grace, our knowing Jesus, our hearing his voice, our at certain moments knowing his conviction or his forgiveness or his leading or his comfort or his counsel, all of this is by the Spirit. By the Spirit who in grace comes to indwell us, to live in us when we bow to Jesus. I love how Gordon Smith, a wise Christian teacher, has said it. He says, the genius of the Christian life is the resolve, willingness, and capacity to respond personally and intentionally to the prompting of the Spirit. To be a Christian is to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to respond to the Spirit who transforms us into the image of Christ, which is why we're spending this summer digging into this, talking together about the Holy Spirit and everyday life in the Spirit, because this is the reality of the Christian life today. And I hope you've noticed, I've intentionally not spent much time this summer in this series on the more dramatic experiences of the Spirit. The more dramatic experiences that we often associate with the Spirit, because I think we've often limited our understanding to the dramatic, the exceptional, the extraordinary, so much so that we have lost the capacity to recognize the everyday, ordinary presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit that animates and sustains everyone who lives in Christ. We've focused so much on the extraordinary that at times, if I were to say to you, tell me how you've experienced the Spirit, many of us would say, oh, I don't know, because we can't think of a drama. We can't think of a profound, wild, dramatic moment. But that's a problem. And that's part of what we've been trying to dig into this summer, is that the work of the Spirit, though at times very dramatic, most of the time is enabling us to simply know the Father's love, to know the leading of Jesus, to know the comfort of God, to know the conviction of God, to be bound by the Spirit to one another, to be formed into the life of the church, the everyday, ordinary life of the Spirit. That's what we need to get in touch with. But that said, next Sunday, I want to go the other direction. Next Sunday, I want to actually dive into the deep end for one Sunday of the more extraordinary work of the Spirit, the unusual, the wild, maybe the surprising experiences that we see or hear, or maybe some of us have experienced, experiences related to the Spirit, often equated with times of renewal. The kinds of experiences that at times cause great confusion and division. I remember years ago being a part of a church where some things happened, and half the room went, "Awesome, God showed up!" And half the room went, "The devil just showed up! We need to get rid of that!" And there are moments like that in our life with God that are confusing for us. And unless we have a grid for making sense of the primary passions and work of the Spirit, I think we will handle those moments poorly. And so next Sunday, we're going to lean into that for a bit. I'm going to take us on a bit of a historical study on how the Spirit has been at work in the world in other times and how some of God's people have sought to discern the work of the Spirit and make sense of moments that are hard to make sense of. So that's next Sunday. That's not today. Today, we're still going to dwell in the land of the ordinary, the everyday life in the Spirit, normal Christian experience. And with this in mind, one topic that we need to spend some time on and yet could easily ignore is the matter of Scripture itself, the Bible, and how it factors into our lives as we seek to walk by the Spirit. Now, it might seem odd to you for me to say that we could easily ignore the Bible in this conversation, especially since over the last 8 weeks, all of what we have discussed about the Spirit, learned about the person and work of the Spirit, has been drawn from our study of Scripture, the Bible. And yet, even in the midst of this, we could so easily miss and misunderstand the deeper reality that the Bible itself is the work of the Spirit. It is not just the means by which we learn about the Spirit. It is itself the work of the Spirit. Or said another way, the Bible itself is a gift of the Holy Spirit to us, to you, and to me, which is something we need to understand and stand on to be shaped by. Because here and there, in our day, as there has been the case in every day, there are Christians who, in the process of delving into the things of the Holy Spirit and in a desire to be entirely in the Spirit or live entirely by the Spirit, have actually ended up putting Scripture aside, more like this, as though it is something that's no longer needed because we have the Spirit. Same thing could be said of the church. I've heard people say at times, "I don't need the church, I have Jesus and the Spirit. I don't need Scripture, I have the Spirit." As though real life in the Spirit comes only as we move beyond the written word to the living word that it is claimed comes straight from the Spirit. And I suspect some of us have had seasons, moments in our lives where we ourselves have felt this urge, this drawing. And yet this temptation, this urge, this draw is not one that comes from the Spirit. For as the Spirit who gives us Scripture and who calls us to devote ourselves to it as the ongoing means of his gracious and much needed ministry to us and among us today, as the Spirit's chosen means by which he continues to speak and act and make God and his will and ways known among us through Scripture. I'm not in saying this, saying that God does not speak through prophecy at times, through personal words impressed upon the heart to another. But our capacity to discern that personal word impressed upon the heart to another, our capacity to discern that is rooted in our devotion to the Spirit's objective revelation to us in the Word. As the Apostle Paul describes in Ephesians 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word are bound together. If we are to walk intimately with the Spirit, we are invited to walk deeply in His Word. In truth, it is impossible to conceive of a study of the Spirit that would not lead us to celebrate the gift of Scripture and our call to devote ourselves to it. Or conversely, it's impossible to do a real study of Scripture without being led to our knees before the Spirit, to bow in dependence upon the Spirit, to make the Word the means of His life-giving revelation to us. The two, the Spirit and the Word, are intimately related. We would not have the Bible if not for the Spirit. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you don't, we need to get a Bible for you. This is what we're talking about today. There's a stack in the shelf around the corner. Honestly, if you don't own a Bible, please take a Bible today. But open your Bibles with me today to 2 Timothy or your Bible app, whatever you use. 2 Timothy 3:16, one of the famous 3:16s of Scripture. There's lots of them. Feel free to go hunting. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul declares, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let me read that passage again. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, or all God's people, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. Thank you, Peter. That is a well-known verse. It's one that most Christians know, maybe have memorized at some point. But that said, if we're honest, I suspect it is not a verse that many of us actually believe or take seriously, at least not all the time. Because if we did, we would open our Bibles often, constantly coming with a hungry, humble, thankful heart, hungry to be taught and formed and renewed by the Spirit through Scripture. Listen again to Paul's words. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Not the Bible is full of fascinating and quizzical stories of how God used to breathe out revelation on people ages ago. But all Scripture is God-breathed. It is breathed out by the Spirit. That's what the word means. Some of our translations, if you opened your Bible and read along with me, your translation might have said that is inspired. It's not what the Greek says. The Greek says that it is expired, breathed out from God, from the Spirit. His word that gives life, that brings order out of chaos, that renews and heals and restores. All Scripture is God-breathed. And not just some of it. Not just the Gospels. Not just the red letter words of Jesus, but all Scripture. Even the book of Leviticus, even Numbers, right? Many of us, it comes to January, we say, I'm going to read my Bible this year. We get going. We get to Leviticus and Numbers, and we go, there's nothing there. There's no Spirit there. All Scripture, even Leviticus, even Numbers, even the genealogies in the Gospels, all of it is somehow the means of God's personal life-giving revelation and action today. All Scripture, not just the New Testament, not just the Gospels, not just the red letters, the words of Jesus, but all of it, the whole of the Christian Bible, the Old and New Testament, all Scripture is God-breathed. And notice this little but explosive word that changes everything, is. All Scripture is God-breathed. Not just was. but is. That's huge. That changes everything. Because it means that the Spirit, the living Holy Spirit of God, works in and through, that the Holy Spirit's work in and through Scripture isn't over. It isn't just something that was in the past, but something that is today. As you and I come to attend to God's revelation in Scripture, we are attending to something that the Holy Spirit is active in, breathing out to us. All Scripture is God-breathed, which means the Bible, the whole of it, is still both the result of the Spirit's work, the gift of the Spirit to us, and the ongoing means of God's speaking. His word that gives life, his word that creates, his word that restores. The ongoing means of the Spirit's work of revelation, revealing God and his work and his will and his ways to us, and the ongoing means of God's recreating work, his restoring work, his renewing work, taking what is out of sorts and making it whole again. That's what the second part of this verse says, the lesser known part of this passage. That the purpose of Scripture, the reason that the Spirit has given us the Bible, is not just so that we will be set straight in our understanding, though that is a significant part of the Spirit's work, but so that our lives would be set straight, trained in righteousness, equipped for every good work. Not just equipped for religious work, not just equipped for Sunday school, but equipped for every good work. I love how Paul uses that phrase again and again in his letters. That the Spirit comes to equip us, to restore and empower and align us again to walk with God for the purpose of doing the things that God has called us to, whatever that is. Is that not something we all long for? To be enabled by God to do the things that God has called us to. And for this very reason, the Spirit has given us Scripture, has breathed out Scripture, and called us to attend to it. Not just to have one that we bring once in a while with us, but to attend to it, to wrestle with it, to live by it, that by his word the Spirit might continue to restore and renew and empower us for every good work. And yet, if we're honest, many of us know by experience that it's possible to read the Bible for years, the Bible that is God-breathed, to take classes on the Bible, to hear the Bible taught, read, taught countless times, to even lead Bible studies ourselves and teach from the Bible, and yet not experience the life-giving revelation of God, to not experience the renewal that comes from hearing God speak, right? All of us, as I describe what Paul says in 2 Timothy, we have a certain sense of yes, but that registers so deeply in our own experience. How is this? Why does this happen? How are we to make sense of this deep and profound yet so common disconnect? Because it happens. It's probably the case for many of us right now. It's definitely been the case for all of us at some point, and probably will be again. Why is this? Well, God tells us in Scripture. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 to 13. This is the other main text for today. I know it's going to be on the screen, but it's helpful to have found it because it helps you find it again. 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, I put my thing there. Well, it went to the wrong place. There you go. Confused myself. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 13. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Do we hear what he's saying? He's saying that we cannot know God unless God reveals himself to us, unless God makes himself known to us and enables us to receive his revelation. How many people, how many of us have stood in the face of the revelation of God and not actually received it, not heard it, not felt it? Oh man, we all know that experience. And yet, is this not the very purpose of Scripture? Didn't we read that? That through Scripture, God might make himself known to us and breathe his life to us. Yes, that is the purpose of Scripture. And yet, but, and this is a significant yet or but Scripture, even Spirit-inspired Scripture, is not sufficient to make God known to us. For this, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit who inspired Scripture, who inspires Scripture, to inspire us as we attend to Scripture, to open our eyes and minds, to illumine our hearts, to comprehend, to receive God's revelation. Without this, we may hear, we may read, we may know the Bible even, but we will not hear and know God. You know what I'm talking about, right? We all do. Without this, we may read and hear and know the Bible, but not in a way that brings and bears the life of God to us and in us. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Divine Conquest, one of my favorite books from years ago, written more than half a century ago, referred to this as textualism, which is simply orthodoxy without the Holy Spirit, he says. Everywhere among the church, we find persons who are Bible taught, but not Spirit taught. They conceive truth to be something they can grasp, figure out with the mind. If a person holds to the fundamentals of the Christian faith, they are thought to possess divine truth. But it does not follow. There is no truth apart from the Spirit. For anyone to understand revealed truth requires an act of God equal to the original act which inspired the text. Let me read that last line again. For anyone to understand revealed truth requires an act of God equal to the original act which inspired the text. That is a bold statement. Tozer is not one to mince words. But it's exactly what God says through Paul in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:11. It is not enough for us to read and study and hear Scripture taught. We need the Spirit who expired Scripture to inspire us. Again, to quote another wonderful British evangelical Anglican, I love those guys, David Watson. He says, until the Holy Spirit illumines our dull minds and warms our cold hearts, we do not receive God's revealed truth, no matter how accurately we know the right words and teach them to others. For an intellectual grasp of the Bible does not in itself bring spiritual life. It is only the Spirit that gives life. It is only by the Spirit that we come to truly know God and life with God. Which is why we find the Apostle Paul in his letters constantly praying prayers like this. Ephesians 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this is Paul writing a letter, right? Writing to teach the church about God, who he is, what he's like, what he's doing in the world. And yet as he writes this letter, he writes it on his knees. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Or in Colossians, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Which doesn't mean that we're to lay aside Scripture to seek the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've tried that. I'm sure some of you have. And yet in those times for myself, again and again, the Spirit has reminded me that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That God has chosen above all to speak to us, to you, to me, through Scripture. So this isn't about laying aside the Word to seek the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, but the Spirit of wisdom and revelation invites us to come on our knees to God's word and scripture, to come with our hearts and minds and lives bowed in dependence upon the Spirit, who alone can fill us with the knowledge of God and lead us into the life of God. And yet, how often do we open our Bibles just like we do a Facebook post? Skim through it, quick glance, read a couple Facebook things, go off and go, huh, God doesn't speak through Scripture. Honestly, if we were in those moments to grasp that we are coming in that moment and turning our hearts and lives toward the living God who is present with us by his Spirit, we might open that Bible app or that devotional or that scripture quite differently. We might in that moment bow our hearts, maybe even our knees, and say, God, I got 4 minutes before I got to run off to work. Or God, I'm about to step into a situation that is so hard and I need to hear your voice. And we open ourselves up to him and listen in his word. And thankfully, in the grace of God, this is what the Spirit wants to do. This is what the Spirit is seeking to do. And I say this, we know this, because this is what the gospel teaches us. Even more than you and I desire to know God, God longs for us to know him. To know him deeply and personally in a sanctifying and life-giving way. This is not something that the vast majority of religions in our world claim. The vast majority of the world's religions invite a people to pursue an unknown God, and maybe you might get his attention and make him want to turn toward you. But in the Christian gospel, we are invited to know that God is seeking us, that our God is a God who has done so much to make himself known to us, who has gone to incredible lengths to make himself known to us in history, in Israel's story, in Jesus, and now by the Spirit through Scripture. This is why the Spirit has come, and this is why he has given us the Bible, not just as the record of his revelation in the past, but as the means of his ongoing ministry, revelation, and work today. This is why week after week I step up here with great hope and faith, not at all because I am convinced that I am a great preacher, but because I know that even more than I long for God to speak, God longs to make himself known to us, to reveal himself to us through Scripture, by the Spirit, in Christ. And again, he does, through his word, by the Spirit. This is why in and through all the ups and downs of my journey, and I have had many and will, I keep coming back to bow before God in his word, to listen again to God and for God in the pages of Scripture, because I know, because of Jesus, that God wants me to know him, and through his word, the Spirit still speaks. Which doesn't mean that every time we open it, or every time we show up to hear it preached, we find ourselves experiencing a profound spiritual revelation. I wish. I'm sure you do too. There are many days when I open my Bible, or when I listen to a sermon podcast as I run around this city, and God doesn't seem to crack me open or himself open to me. And yet, in the midst of this, I can also say there are many days, as there has been this week, where I have come to God in his word and found God speaking near, offering words of comfort, speaking to the brokenness that I'm feeling for another alongside of me, and giving me hope that he's a God sufficient to hold the other as he is me. A God who still hears the cry of the broken. A God who still comes near to the outcast, to those suffering injustice. God's speaking that to me, so when I stand alongside of the one who feels outcast, broken, receiving injustice, I have hope because I know God is still a God that comes near. Looking back over the years, I wonder how many of us would say this too. I can see how the Spirit has used Scripture to exactly what Paul describes in 2 Timothy 3:16 in my life and in many people's lives. Through Scripture, the Spirit has taught me about Himself, about the Father and the Son, about myself, about my worth, about my sin, about my life, about life itself, about repentance and grace. Through Scripture, the Spirit has rebuked me in love. Through Scripture, the Spirit has corrected me and trained me in righteousness in ways that have and are changing me in my heart and my motives and my relationships and my solitude. Through Scripture, God has equipped me and is. Equip in Greek is this beautiful word that describes the fishermen in the Gospels mending their nets, where they pull the net out of the water and it's just got a bunch of crap in it, junk in it, things that make it not effective for being in the water to do its work and make it just something that gets dropped and pulled up and there's nothing in it. To equip us is to take that out and restore our capacity to do the thing that God has made us to do. And in His grace, through Scripture, God equips us, mends our nets, restores us to be able to do the things that God has made us to do. In truth, I know I would not be who I am today if not for the grace of the Spirit through Scripture. And I suspect that is true for so many of us. And so today, our call again, as we lean into the Spirit, is to bow to the Spirit in His Word. To recognize that we have often maybe turned from what the Spirit is seeking to give to us. Maybe we've lost faith, and we need to receive faith again, that all Scripture is the isness of Scripture, that the Spirit still speaks. Words that give life. Let's pray. Can I invite those that are going to serve communion, those are going to lead us in worship, to come forward, please. Let's invite us in stillness to bow before God and name to God whatever we need to name in regards to what He has been speaking to us, and then I'll pray. O living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I thank You for the ways You have taught us over the years, us as a church right here, for the men and women who, through their faithfulness to You, have sought to help us keep Your Word at the center of our life, that we would be a church who lives from Your Word, who listens to Your Word and follows, who bows to Your revelation in Scripture. I thank You that part of our history, our story as a church, is that we are a church that has sought to let Scripture be the loudest voice, a constant voice. And we know this is a gift of Your Spirit to us. So we thank You, God. And yet, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we confess that we have so often come to Your Word, but not to You. We have often treated Your Word like a magical book, hoping that our reading of a few lines might cast a spell on us and change everything, rather than coming to bow to You, our living God whose Word gives life, that through Your Word You might speak. Forgive us, God, for treating Scripture like something under our control and under our thumb. Oh God, we bow to You, and we ask that once again You would lead us to Your knees before you before your revelation in Scripture, that you would make us hungry again to hear your voice, and you would give us humility to bow, God, and do the hard work of listening, and listening well. Not just on our own, but together, God, we ask that you would lead us forward as a church. You would grow us as a community that bows to you and listens well, turns our ear, our hearts, our lives to you and your revelation in Scripture, that we might be formed by you, that we might come alive in you, that we might be a people who know your voice, your will, your ways, and who live in you. Oh, give us ears to hear your voice. Oh, Holy Spirit, teach us to listen. And open us up, God. And oh, Lord, speak. Lord, as we bow to you in your word as a community and as your individual followers, oh, Lord, would you speak? Would you open yourself to us and us to you? Amen. Our response today, as often is the case, is to me to come to the table. And once again, this is so fitting for us. To come to this table, take the bread and the cup, these symbols of the sacrifice of Jesus, the offering, the death of Jesus for us to restore us to the Father in the love of God. And we need to do this today again, because it's only through our bowing to Jesus that we receive the Spirit. It's through the grace of Jesus that we receive the Spirit, but also this is our hope. As we come to this table and take the bread and the cup, may we be reminded again that we are coming hungry to hear from a God who's hungry for us to know him. A God who has done so much and is still doing so much that we might know him. So I invite you to come. If you know that you need the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the life of God, come to Jesus today. If you know that you need God's voice to order the chaos in you, come with us to the table to receive from Christ today. If you know that you need God's word to speak life to you, come with us to Christ today at the table and receive and celebrate.